greet our guest star, my old schoolmate, one of show business' most outstanding stars, on the air, in vaudeville, musical comedy, and movies. Is that good? The Jolly Jester, Milton Berle.
Thank you.
You can get up off your knees.
I was building up the applause sign there for the... Well, thank you very much, Kenny Baker. Kenny Delmar. No, I'm only kidding. I want to say there's only one Kenny Delmar, and that's Harry Von Zell. It is a pleasure. Say, what was that build-up you just gave me, that Jolly Jester? What is it? Lucky I'm not Jack Benny, or he introduced me as the Wigged Wag.
Well, gosh, Milton, should we
that's
go on?
First take. Go ahead.
Well, Milton, it seems like old times being with you again. Remember back at good old professional children's school?
Yeah, school days. Those were the days. What days, Kenny? Nothing like the good old days. But the nights are better now.
Well, I'll never forget even now, Milton. You were always going around telling jokes and trying out routines on all us kids to get our reactions.
Yeah, Kenny. Even then, I wanted to become a comedian.
Tell me, Milton, do you still want to become a comedian?
Yeah.
Very good. Who writes for you? The ushers?
You know what?
I'm surprised at you, Kenny. You saying that to me, went to school with me, you're my pal, my buddy, the guy I sat in class with for years, same class. Remember, Kenny, remember our literature class?
Yeah, you kept flunking because you said the Divine Comedy was written by Joe Miller.
That laid there, didn't it?
Milton, you always...
What?
You were always a student of comedy.
I was a what?
A student of comedy.
Yes, I was.
Yes.
I mean, I was, yes. For example, lately, Kenny, I have been studying radio comedy.
Uh-huh.
And as I see it, radio comedy is broken down... You know, if I stop there, that's perfectly a good line. Radio is broken down, period.
It's the summer, you know.
Yes, well, I know. Yes, it's hot. Well, there are three types of radio comedy shows, Kenny. The first show is built around the comedy theme. How about helping me show the folks what it's like?
Well, sure thing, Mo.
All right, let's do that.
The Rabbit and Loudfellow Show.
Hey, Rabbit!
Loudfellow, where have you been? I've been standing here waiting for you for so long, my corns are popped. What do you think?
Walla, 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 walla,
walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla, walla.
Now, you see, this type of show... This type of show operates on the theory that confusion is a reasonable facsimile for comedy, and that a yell is related to a bambula, a yacht. But this is the sort of show where a joke is called a gag, because it has that effect on the listener. Let's try it again.
Yeah. Well, come on there, Longfellow. Tell me, where have you been?
Loudfellow, not Longfellow.
Oh, Loudfellow. I was poetic. I'm very lyric.
Hiawatha Schwartz. Go ahead.
Tell me, Chief Loudfellow, where have you been?
Oh, I'm Costello now. Yeah. Oh, what I just saw. Oh, but right at Hollywood and Vine, I saw a cop pinch a girl.
You don't say. You don't say.
What do you mean I don't say? I just said it. Not only that, but I just said it because furthermore, I'll say it again. Right at Hollywood and Vine, I saw a cop pinch a girl.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
What did the girl do?
She pinched him back. Well, now you see... Now,
I got more laughs with the fossa, fossa, fossa.
Yes, you did. Well, I wouldn't call, Kenny, I wouldn't call this type of comedy low. Exactly, but let's face it, the only place it can go is up.
I hear you're thinking of buying a chicken ranch.
Oh, boy. You bet, Rabbit. I'm going to have all kinds of little chickens. Soft little yellow ones, fuzzy little red ones, a fluffy little white one. Oh, I just love chickens.
Yeah, but you don't know anything about chickens.
Who don't know anything about chickens?
You don't.
Oh, I do, too. I know everything about chickens. Go ahead, ask me something about chickens. Go ahead, ask me anything. I know all of them.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, Mr. Know-It-All, suppose you tell me, why does a chicken cross the road?
Why does it, maybe it likes the other side of the road better.
No, that's not the reason.
How do you know? Did you ask it?
Brent, why did the chicken cross to the other side of the road?
I don't know. It wouldn't tell me.
Well, I'll tell you.
Why?
The chicken crossed the road for some foul reason.
Oh, no! Oh, murder, murder.
Well, the
it's
only...
Funny if this is an audition and we don't know it.
They destroy these things after we make them.
They should have destroyed it before.
The only thing that can be said for that type of radio comedy, Milton, is it makes the commercials sound so good.
Well, Kenny, commercials. On those shows, the corn isn't green. It's gruesome. But radio comedy show type number two is different, Kenny. Type two is built around the folksy down-to-earth comedian. You know what a down-to-earth comedian is. That's a guy who slings mud around his family tree. And here's the idea. I'll show you.
The Sam Singes Show.
Howdy, folks. I just got a letter from my hometown, Unalurin, from my cousin Blub, that's my Malaysian cousin. He's as shiftless as a set of strip gears. Yak, yak, yak. Well, Cousin Blub, whatever happened to Wendell Hall? Well, Cousin Blub wants to borrow some money off of me, so he and my Uncle Watergun, that's my short uncle. Of course, Watergun ain't his real name. They call him Watergun because he's such a little squirt. I'm gaining on you. Well, Blub writes me as how he wants to borrow some money as Uncle Watergun and him's aiming to buy a farm. But I ain't going to lend him no money because Cousin Blub may be aiming to buy a farm, but I know he's as aimless as a cap pistol and about as straight as a shooter.
Yeah, well, I see what you mean, Milton. The Sam Singes type of comedian really gives the family skeletons a shake for a laugh.
A shake, Kenny. He rattles those skeletons so hard that the bones sound like castanets. But radio comedy show type number 3 is entirely different. This show is built around a great wit. A wit. That's the comedian who's been dipped in acid. Now I'm going to give you an idea.
The Ted Fallon Show. Last week, the medical convention announced the discovery of a new anesthetic so powerful that 2 gallons can put 25 million people to sleep. But here's the man who does the same thing with one joke, Ted Fallon.
Kenny, you lied to me.
You notice I'm holding my nose while I'm reading this, don't you?
Kenny, you lied to me. You said that joke was made out of your head, and actually you were out of your head when you wrote it. But don't worry, your joke may not have the studio rocking, but it does have it reeking. What's new in the news, Kenny?
Well, down in Clutterbuck Creek, Kentucky, Mrs. Cornelia B. Snaggletooth received 10 years in prison. The name got a laugh there. Yeah, 10 years in prison for shooting her husband dead in a drunken argument.
Well, Kenny, that's a miscarriage of justice. She shouldn't have had but half the sentence, because Mr. Snaggletooth was already half shot when he died.
Well, what is your question for the folks in Fallon's Flophouse tonight?
Well, Kenny, I'm glad you asked that question. This week, a campaign was started to... Do I sound like Jack Benny or Fred? This week, a campaign was started to increase sugar beet acreage to make us independent of imported sugar. So my question tonight is, what do you think about sugar beets?
Shall we go?
Shall we get out of here?
Thank you, Lou Holt. Well, Kenny, here we are in Fallon's Flophouse. Let's try the first door, Mr. Totter. Hello, Mr. Totter. Tell me, what do you think about sugar beets?
I'm against 'em. Tried 'em. Put 10 acres out in sugar beets last year.
What was the trouble? Bad crop?
Nope. Crop came up okie-dokie, but them sugar beets wasn't practical for sweetening.
Sugar beets weren't sweet enough?
They were sweet enough, I reckon, but when I put one in a cup, there weren't no room for coffee. So long, city slicker.
Well, well. How do you like that? The stooge gets a bigger laugh than we do. Well, let's see.
Don't forget, he went to professional school, too.
Well, let's see. Let's see what Mr. Blinkenchop has to say.
Greetings, Mr. Fallon.
Well, how are you, Mr. Blinkenchop?
I'm a very sick man, even for me.
All right.
Yesterday, I went to the doctor, which is telling me to keep my temperature down. Excuse me, I must look on my thermometer.
Wait, Mr. Blinkenchop, you've got the thermometer in the wrong place. You've got it between your neck and your shirt.
Naturally. The doctor is telling me not to get hot under the collar.
Yes, too much heat under the collar can cause blowing of the top. Tell me, Mr. Blinkenchop, what is it?
Yes. God bless you.
You're welcome. Is that any relation to Shostakovich?
Could be.
Shostakovich small by a waterfall. Mr. Blinkenchop, I wasn't talking about, sugar beets, Mr. Blinkenchop.
Where are we? Who is needing sugar with borscht? He's needing sour cream with borscht. My Uncle Wanger, he was all his life absolute nuts for borscht. He had 2,000 acres beets for borscht. Well, one morning he gets up in the morning, which is all right so far.
Yeah, sure.
But he can't get up from bed, so he don't get up. He knows that he was dying, so he looks up.
So we.
Come back here, yes. I don't finish. I got to finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
He looks out the windows on all his 2,000 acres beets. His eyes are filling with tears.
Yeah.
Beets, he says, my beautiful beets, I am dying. I am going to be leaving you forever. Forgive me, because after all, you know, even the borscht of friends must part.
Ah, these Russians and their borscht. You know, there's an old Moscow maxim that says, try borscht, you can't beat it. There must be a joke there someplace, but this is no time to go on a scavenger hunt. Yes, millions of Americans are insuring their future while investing in their country with United States savings bonds. And every time they remember the United States savings bonds pay back $4 for every $3 invested in just 10 years' time, why, you should see them beam.
Well, that's just natural. After all, not only are they getting that 4-for-3 payoff, but their United States savings bonds are the safest, the finest investment in the world.
And watching savings grow steadily by regular investment in United States savings bonds through the easy automatic payroll savings plan is really a surefire way to keep anyone smiling.
And the payroll savings plan is so easy and automatic.
Well, all you have to do is to tell your boss to invest a certain amount from your pay envelope each payday in United States savings bonds. And you yourself set the amount to be invested. That's all you have to do. The bosses take care of the rest. And you're set on a career of planned, steady, regular, automatic savings. The best way with the best investment, United States savings bonds.